Welcome back, episode 2, Whiteboard Weekly. Jason Ackerman here, the artist. Do you prefer to be referred to as an artist, a drawer, what are, a sketcher?
Someone called me the Bob Ross of CrossFit, and I was really honored with that name. I'm not sure if I could be, instead of drawing happy little trees, I was drawing happy little stickmen. You can call me an artist. I don't know. You can, whatever. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Oh, classic line there, Carl. Bob Ross. Bob Ross is one of those guys that there's like so many urban legends about him. You don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah. He's like Chuck Norris, basically.
he's the Chuck Norris of the art world. Well, for those of you tuning in, go to your Instagram. If you're not driving, I listen to my podcast while driving. So if you're not driving, go to your Instagram. Scroll back a ways. We're heading in the Wayback Machine to March 7th. And today we're going to talk about Carl's drawing of, quote unquote, don't dump the fish. And those of you that do CrossFit or coach CrossFit or have been around, you probably know we're talking about the medicine ball cleat. So first and foremost, Carl, do you remember the first time you heard this cue of don't dump the fish?
I believe it was at my CrossFit level 1, and it was during the demo for the med ball clean. And let's be honest, I think a lot of gyms, they kind of overlook the med ball clean I don't know, it's not the most sexy movement. And so people, I think trainers, once they do, once they go through like the med ball clean in their level 1, that's usually kind of like one of the only times they really do that movement. But there's so much good stuff going on with that movement that it should be integrated into programming more often, if you were to ask me. But I think that's the first time I really learned about it. Yeah.
I mean, I 100% agree. I recently put a video up on my YouTube teaching, seeing, and correcting the medicine ball clean. And, you know, something we talk about at level ones is so many people are intimidated by CrossFit to begin with. I think we can all attest to that, right? You told me you're at your mother-in-law's right now. I assume, it's a bold assumption, but does she do CrossFit?
That's a correct assumption. She does not.
So chances are, like my mom, she's just intimidated. You use the word CrossFit, they think of Rich Froning. They think of, you know, all of these games athletes. And the medicine ball clean is so beautiful because it's literally teaching them an Olympic lift. Like, hey, mom, if you said to your mom, hey, I'm going to teach you an Olympic sport, it's called the clean and jerk. Yeah. She'd be like, I'm 60 years old, my knees, yeah, my back. Where if you're like, hey, there's a medicine ball. By the way, it weighs 4 pounds, and I'm going to teach you how to get underneath it. No different than you do with, you know, with your dog or, you know, your grandchild. She'd be like, okay, I'm game. Teach me a little bit. So I think that's what's beautiful about it. And something we say at the level one during this med ball clean lecture is, you know, the challenge is exactly why it's important. Kind of like we talked about on the last episode, where it's like the difficulty in this movement is exactly why we need it. You know, and I always, when I give that lecture, I always give a quote from one of my favorite movies, A League of Their Own. You know the quote I'm going to say, Carl?
There's no crying in baseball.
I don't do that one, Carl. But okay. I say, it's supposed to be hard. It's the hard that makes it great. And that's really the med ball clean. It's supposed to be hard. And anyone that is listening to this, if they get out there and they do a med ball clean workout that has over 50 or 100 med ball cleans, you're going to wake up pretty smashed the next day.
Yeah.
Do you remember who was demonstrating at your level one?
So the first time I ever took a level one, I was actually at the ranch in Aromas at Castro's Ranch. And I was there with, I think Bosman was one of the instructors. Pat Barber was one of the instructors. The two main were Freddie Camacho and Jolie Gentry.
Talking old school.
Yeah, way old school. This is like 2009.
Yeah, and Camacho and Jolie, they haven't been on staff since probably 2010.
Yeah, and so it was Jolie who was demonstrating it. And, you know, it was – and the cool thing, like Neil Maddox, he was like sitting right next to me in class. Like he was one of the you know, he was there getting his level one as well. Kalipa was out there doing a little workout. Castro's family fed us both days there. So it was really good food. it was something I'll never forget. And obviously I'll never forget the men ball clean as well. And I think this is also the first time I probably even heard that cue, because it's like, it targets the stickiest point with the entire med ball clean. And when you don't dump the fish, basically you are getting around that problem of curling the medicine ball into that front rack position. So that's one of the main reasons why I like it. And I think it's so relevant and applicable to many other people.
Well, yeah. And before we dive into that, Jolie Gentry is one of the most overlooked games athletes out there. You know, oftentimes we do trivia at level ones and level twos, just in between evolutions and to kind of keep the participants' attention and energy high. And I would say more often than not, you say, who won the 2007 CrossFit Games?
Yeah.
The men's winner, James Fitzgerald, will eventually get brought up, but people will say very weird names when it comes to the, you know, we'll hear Annie Sakamoto, we'll hear Nicole Carroll, even Eva T, but Jolie Gentry, you know, shout out to her. And you had a star-studded crew at the ranch. What made you, you know, considering you're from Indiana, what made you decide to go out to California to the ranch?
I was living out in California at the time. I was actually living just south of Berkeley in Oakland. And I was actually working out, doing my own CrossFit workouts at the Berkeley Rec Center. And this is a story in itself. I was like doing just stuff that I would find on the .com site. And sure enough, I looked over in the corner and they had like these super tall power racks, and they had pull-up bars on the very top of the rack. And it allowed me, like, I could hang, I'm 6'7", and I could still fully hang without my toes touching the ground. So I loved it. It was like, I don't have to worry about, like, you know, bending my legs while I'm doing a pull-up. Anyway, I saw this guy and a girl over there who were doing butterfly pull-ups during their workout. And I was like,
that's okay. That's back in the day too.
Back in the day. Right. And I was like, okay, they're CrossFitters, because no one else would be doing butterfly pull-ups. And sure enough, it was Sabah Matossian and his girlfriend, Haley. Haley.
Well, and if it was Savon, he couldn't have been doing more than sets.
I guess myself, that's hot. But
if it was Savon, he couldn't have been doing more than Savon wasn't doing more than three or four at a time. He's not that fit. So
you don't understand. He was doing strict ring muscle ups. Like we long story short, we started working out together, and we started doing different CrossFit workouts together. Are you there, Jason?
Yeah, we had a quick bounce off. It's all good. Yeah. I think we got to get your mother-in-law to get some better Wi-Fi at her house. But but anyway, you're saying you're working out with Savon.
I'm working out with Savon. He actually started, he videotaped me doing a few workouts that actually made it to the .com page. And I lost my mind, because that was back then. That is the, it's the online mecca for any kind of CrossFitter. So to be featured on that, and my nickname then was Tall Carl. And so it was like Tall Carl does whatever. So whatever workout we're doing, the first video I ever did was Tall Carl does double unders. And I did 3 minutes of unbroken double unders, which was like considered by Glassman the gold standard. And So anyway, long story short, Savon was the one who asked me if I would be interested in getting my level one. And was able to get me into that level one at the ranch. And because it was close by, it was near Berkeley at the time.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's funny you mentioned that, because I do remember now those videos, and I never made that connection to Tall Carl. And for those listening, I think if you're an avid CrossFitter, the ranch, it's kind of like going to Graceland. Yes. If you're an Elvis fan. Like, I've been there probably I was there for the new trainer summit. When you get on seminar staff, we have like an annual summit for the new people. I was there the year the games, remember the games, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, flew the athletes to the ranch for a couple events. I was there for that. And I was there for another event. It's great. You see the original hopper.
Sure enough. Yeah, definitely too. It was, and then, you know, back then too, just the hill itself, that is there, like the ranch is at the base of this giant hill. And part of our workout one day was to run that hill. It's such a special place, especially for I don't know, I want to say OG CrossFitters, but yeah, it's like those who, you know, if you remember seeing the Panda Express banner at the 07, 08 games and that footage, then, you know what the ranch is, you know how special it is.
I remember that. So something you mentioned just a few minutes ago in passing is pull-up bar height.
Yeah.
When I walk into a box, I immediately look for the low pull-up bar. Is being tall just as challenging when it comes to pull-up space as being short is?
Yeah, just like you, the very first thing I do is I look for the highest pull-up bar, and it's usually over in the corner, and thankfully, like, no one else is usually using it. But for me, it's a challenge. It always is a challenge, is to find a pull-up bar, because you want that full extension when you come through at the very bottom, regardless if you're doing butterfly pull-ups or kipping pull-ups, even strict pull-ups. It's nice to have a nice, full, hollow body there, and you can't when you have to bend. Well, it's compromised when you have to bend your knees. And so I always see it as a giant blessing to have a nice, tall pull-up bar.
Yeah, I suppose the argument could be made that, like, hey, Jay, you can always step off of a box, right, and go to a higher bar. Carl can't raise the bar or do anything about it. So, yeah. And I feel your pain, because over the summer I was working out a lot in the playground here, and all the pull-up bars I were using were low, and I had to constantly keep either my hips flexed or my knees bent in order to get that, like you said, either keep that hollow position or hit those butterflies. So do you remember that push, speaking of butterfly pull-ups, around 2008? It was right around the games, and Spieler was doing butterfly pull-ups as they did, you know, the chest to bar Fran.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was losing their mind trying to learn butterfly pull-ups. Hey,
exactly. And so ironic that we're talking about this right now, because I just about to mention that Jolie Gentry was the first one that I saw ever do butterfly pull-ups. And same thing too. The people started in the crowd, they were like, what is this sorcery that we are witnessing right now? They had never seen the body move like that in a cyclical manner. And it was really that, I mean, let's be honest, you know, when you think about, especially back in those days, the big hot points were kipping and using your body to do something normally people do strict, but the idea that you're getting more work done in less time was a concept that I think a lot of people didn't really consider back then. So kipping pull-ups was right there.
Do you have a memory of arguing with anyone about the benefits and the validity of kipping versus strict? Because I have a pretty vivid one, but and I have countless, but I have one that stands out. Do you?
Nothing more. Me personally, no, because I do the Michael Jackson Thriller thing where I just grab popcorn and read the comments in the Facebook. Back then Facebook was the primary method of social media. And I would just kind of see what other people said. I didn't really care too much about the naysayers, or I just kind of, to me, it made sense. It's like you're getting more work done, less time. And as long as you're not hurting yourself, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was at a gym where I used to train jiu-jitsu in Florida. And a bunch of the guys were doing pull-ups. And now, mind you, they have no standard. They're not getting their chin above the bar. They're not coming to full extension. And they were like, you know, the typical, you do CrossFit, how many can you do? And they were getting like 10, you know, 12. I popped up there and I probably got 30 something butterfly. And it was just like, I'm cold. I've literally got my jiu-jitsu gi on, you know, and they were like, you're cheating, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't even argue because it was my professor was involved in it. So I was like, I'm not going to offend my professor. But so many people are always just like, I'm going to battle against this. But what they're doing is completely, you know, they're ignorant to the fact that, hey, we're hitting a full range of motion. When you talk about force, distance, time, some people I've learned over the years, Carl, you can't teach. They don't want to learn.
Right. Yeah. You can only teach people who want to learn, basically. Yeah. So.
So we've deviated from the med ball clean. Let's take it back to the post again. March 7th. Don't dump the fish. Now, immediately when I see this, you say you picked this up from CrossFit in Dalto and AK Lane 18. So that's Ashley Lane, by the way, because I Googled her. Where do these two people or the box and this coach come from?
I'll be honest. I'm not exactly sure where Indulto is. What a lot of times what people do online is that they will either mention a cue in the comments, or they'll direct message me and say, oh my gosh, you should, have you done this one before? Or they'll suggest a cue for me to write up. And that's what this one is. I love it because it gives me the opportunity to put somebody else on in the spotlight to say like, hey, listen, like I learned this from somebody else and hopefully, and I'm just passing it along. So hopefully you dig it as well. So I'm not sure if it was Ashley who reached out or Indulto who reached out, but I'm pretty sure it was in the comments of something else. And they're like, you really need to draw this up. And, you know, sure enough, that's what I did. So I always love it when people direct message me and suggest cues to draw, because I kind of see this whiteboard daily as a page that's a collective where we can share knowledge. And, you know, it goes back to high tide raises all boats. So together, let's raise the tides. So.
Yeah, yeah, you know, well, first of all, CrossFit Indulto is based out of Atlanta, Georgia. So I just did a quick Google search for there. And that's one thing I've always admired about you, Carl, and I hope the people listening learn from. You know, you have to have that abundance mindset. Someone I listen to a lot in the podcast world is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And you'll never catch Joe Rogan saying anything bad about someone. And you'll always catch him saying, you know, this person's great, that person's great. And I think what you do that's tremendous is always give those kudos. So this cue, as I'm reading your post, when is for the transition for med ball cleans. What does this mean? During the transition for the med ball clean, the hands rotate around the ball to prepare to receive. This ensures that the athlete is not curling the ball into the front rack position. Mm-hmm. So let's go step by step, because you have five figures drawn here. And the first set is the setup. So for those watching, how would you explain this analogy of the medicine ball and a fishbowl?
Yeah, so the medicine ball is, and there's other analogies that I've seen with regard to the like the design of the medicine ball. It's got the laces, so you maybe always want the laces pointing a certain way throughout the movement. But the idea is that you want your medicine ball to replicate a fishbowl, so that there's a top that's open and you got water inside of it. And as you go down to pick it up, the top is obviously to the top. You want to keep that top facing up the entire way. So we got the setup there where the med ball is going to be pretty much between the feet. Some people have it between the heels. Some people have it between like the toes. If it's in that general area, that's fine. But you want to, as you look down, that's the same part of the medicine ball that you want to have finish in the top position when you're done.
So do you prefer, you know, since I've been teaching the medicine ball clean, I always say laces out. Recently, I was getting coached at Ralston Creek CrossFit, and he encouraged me to put the laces up, and he used this cue of don't dump the fish. Do you prefer laces out, or do you prefer laces up?
I don't know. I took my level one twice. This was back when the second time I took it, first time was at the ranch. Second time I took it was actually in Auckland, my level ones. The second time I took the level one, it was like laces out. And the thing, I mean, that's all well and good. You want to make it easy so that the person, the athlete, kind of sees the cue as well. And if they can't see, if the laces are pointing away from them, they might not be able to see it as well as if the laces are pointing up. So that's the only difference I would say there. But the same principle applies to both.
And I agree. He said that, and I was like, this guy's silly telling me to put my laces up. And then as I was doing it, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense, because for a lot of the medicine balls, especially the old school ones, they almost have like a different color in the middle there. And that almost signifies like that's where the water would be. So long as that bowl is still facing up, it makes a lot more sense, I think, for the newer athlete. I like to say laces out because I just like to, you know, do the laces out. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel from Ace Ventura. But not everybody gets that reference anymore.
Ace Ventura. Anytime you can, right, as long as you can make it relatable and memorable. And I think we're at the point right now, unfortunately, where not many people might not know about Ace Ventura. It's hard to imagine living in that world.
Yeah. I always focus on the youngest people at a level one or level two. And I'm always like, you're going to have to Google that. Like when I reference Saved by the Bell, I'll say, okay, you know, Johnny, go home and Google that because you don't know what I'm talking about. But I think enough people still get that Ace Ventura reference. So you go through that setup position. You hit that jump shrug, that triple extension, right? We talked about Coach B on that first one. I think he'd be very proud of your drawing. And for those listening, triple extension of the hips, the knees, and the ankles, and you got those check marks beautifully marked there. And I love, by the way, how there's just one tiny goldfish in that fishbowl. It's a really awesome drawing.
It's drawn with laser-like precision. You know, this is a very special fish. I want to make sure that fish was replicated well. And no, it's you know, you can't have more than one fish in there. It's just don't dump the fishes. No.
Well, I think fish is plural, isn't it, Carl? I don't know what's plural. Is it fish? But regardless, whether it's one fish or many fish, you don't want to lose any of them. And then on that third drawing of the stick figure, obviously there's the fault. And what you do is show on the next one that without dumping that fish, we get those hands to rotate perfectly. We're in that nice, solid, racked position. So is this a cue? How would you find it best to implement this cue? Is this a cue that during a workout, a med ball clean workout, you're literally yelling, don't dump the fish? How are you implementing this, and how can people listening as coaches implement this into their coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing that you want to do, and we've talked about this before, but there's always there's a time and a place for everything, right? And in the thick of a workout, when people are in that red zone where they have got nothing in front or in their mind but get the work done, it's not always the best time to introduce a new cue. This cue and many others are going to be perfect when you're going through that warm-up of lightweight. No one's pushing themselves right now and no one's got this physical exertion, but their minds are open to learning and understanding. I'm not sure if you ever watched The Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan, but he always talks about when dogs reach that like level 10, and at that point, when they're at level 10, they're just in the zone. You can't even talk to them. You have to really, you can't give them a command that they don't already know. They're just so wound up. And I feel like a lot of times, especially in high intensity workouts, again, intensity is relative, but in workouts where there's high intensity, a lot of people, you've already missed that opportunity to introduce a new concept to them. So that's why it's so important to take advantage of the warm-ups and the prep for the workout to implement your cues then. You don't want to be dropping some new concept on somebody when they're at a level 10 in that red zone. So as I'm going through the warm-ups and we're describing what the med ball clean is, that's when I would be using a cue like this.
Yeah, and then for those that either haven't taken their level one or maybe they've taken it and they can't remember, there's a progression to the medicine ball clean. Yeah. And, as someone that interned many times to get on the staff, I had to memorize that. And it's, you could wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'll still be able to tell you deadlift shrug, shrug pull under, front squat, full medicine ball clean. And I actually just messed it up. It's actually front squat, then shrug pull under. But point is, this has a very specific point in that progression of that shrug pull under where you can really tie it in. And you have the athlete standing up nice and tall, whether the laces are up or out. And we say, all right, guys, you make that silly analogy of, I don't want you to spill that fishbowl. So when we're done with this movement, the laces need to be facing the same direction. And we talked about on our previous episode, conscious competence and incompetence. There's a great way that I can be coaching a class. I could have my back to many of the people looking at one person, but everybody in the class will know, hey, I did it right or wrong, depending on where the laces are facing. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's a self-correcting cue.
And also for me, what I like about this too, is that there are so many other cues that I think about that have water in the visualization as well. When you think about like your pelvis is a bowl of water and you want to have that bowl holding the water and you don't want this anterior or posterior tilt to your pelvis, you don't want to be spilling water. There's another one of like imagining that you're holding a bowl of water when you're going through a push press or a push jerk, and that you want to keep a vertical dip and drive going straight down, straight up. And you don't want to be coming back with a muted hip, or you don't want to be bending too far forward and spilling water and sloshing water all over the place. Same thing applies to this. It's like you want to keep something stable and upright, but you still want to move your body around it. And so it makes a lot of sense. And I hope that it works for a lot of other people as well.
Yeah. And I have a funny story about this exact cue. So I'll give a little behind the curtains to seminar staff. Once you're on staff, there's probably about 5 or 10 seminars where you really don't do anything other than coach the small breakout group. So, you know, you don't give any lectures. I'm not running the muscle up or the snatch, and I'm simply just teaching my squat group, my press group, and my deadlift group. And then, you know, being there for support for everything else. And then in time you get to still there, Carl. So in time you get to do some of those lectures, and you start with the press lecture, and then ultimately the second lecture you get is the deadlift lecture. Now, in order to progress from lecture to lecture, the flow master has to give you kind of a thumbs up. Like, you did a good job, you get to do it again, and five of those and you move forward. So my very first time doing this deadlift lecture, are you familiar with E.C. Sinkowski?
Yeah, of course.
So E.C. is a great human being. Yeah. To be quite honest, I find her to be one of the smartest people I know. She's an incredibly intelligent person. Check out the 800 gram challenge for those of you that aren't sure. I mean, and she was very much responsible for me improving my nutrition, even when I was doing macros and stopping me from eating like an asshole and saying, "Hey, Jay, get 800 grams a day." But anyway, years before that, I'm doing my very first deadlift lecture. We're in Maryland, because I remember, I forget the name of the box, but I remember we were in Maryland. And you're nervous going into those lectures. You're like, oh, I've got to present this thing to 50 people, plus I'm getting evaluated, plus that person that evaluated me is someone I highly respect, and she's very stoic when she watches. You do not get a reaction from EC.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm through the deadlift. I'm through the sumo deadlift high pull. We get to the medicine ball clean, and I go, we're talking, I forget exactly where I'm at, but I'm like, don't spill the fish. And all of a sudden, this quiet room, you hear one incredibly loud, I would refer to it as cackling, in the background. And it's EC just cracking up at me saying, don't spill the fish. And I'm like, it was so distracting, because I'm like, you know, quickly in my head, I was like, wait, is this a good laugh or a bad laugh? You know, and then after the lecture was done, I was like, man, you were just so loud laughing. She was like, that just made, it was just so funny to me. But point is, if that resonated with someone with EC's experience and credentials, imagine what it does to somebody new at your box. It's just like, whether it's funny to them or it just stands out, either way, they're going to remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to how we're talking about cues need to be actionable. And when you're describing an action to somebody, like, hey, listen, don't do this. Keep that fishbowl upright. Man, it just changes their whole perspective on things. And they move different though, don't they? You know, it's like, they don't want to pull that, they don't want to curl the fishbowl onto them. It just, to me, it makes a lot of sense. I really enjoy using that cue.
Yeah. And this is actually one of the few cues where I don't mind kind of that negative there. Don't do this. Right. I learned this from an old wrestling coach, and he would always tell me, because I coached wrestling for some years. And when I first started, he was like, stop telling the kids what you don't want them to do. Tell them what you want them to do. And I really took that with me to CrossFit, because the analogy he gave me, which was true, it's like, okay, you're wrestling, right? And your coach is, you know, you got two people facing off, tall Carl versus short Jay going at it. And my coach is like, hey, Jay, don't get taken down.
Yes, right.
And all of a sudden, Carl shoots a mean double leg. I'm on my back. And I'm like, damn, not only am I upset I'm on my back, but I also disappointed my coach, who just told me the one thing I shouldn't be doing is getting taken down. Yeah. So it's the same principle. Well, I think this is more of a analogy, and it's more of a metaphor for the movement. You can also say, you know, keep the fish safe if you really didn't want to use that don't word. And then another way I've heard people use the same cue is pretend it's toilet water.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I could, hey, that works just as well too. But you mentioned something that I really focus on whenever I'm sharing cues with other people and drawing them up is avoiding the negative. And Ben Bergeron said, don't coach the negative or don't cue the negative, where you're saying, don't do something, don't do this. Well, if you say, don't do that, then you're still leaving this wide opportunity for them to do millions of other things. But if you're telling them specifically, do this, then that makes a lot more sense to them. Like, follow this path. Instead of saying, don't turn left, well, do they go straight or do they go right? Well, no, just tell them, go right. Just like giving cues like a GPS, short and specific and actionable. And so same thing. Yeah, just like you said, although it's a negative, it still is an analogy that we're focusing on here. We're not saying don't curl the ball. You know, we're saying don't spill the fish.
You know, yeah. And again, I don't think we need to beat that down, but I think so many times newer coaches and maybe even veteran coaches, something that really clings to me as we're on this kind of negative talk is, you know, say we take another cue of on the med ball clean and it's, you know, pulling early. You know, I want you to keep your arms long. What I don't want you to do is this. I don't want you to do that. I don't want to see this. And coaches will go over all of the possible faults.
Yeah.
And when it's a new athlete, one thing I remind those coaches, A, you've shown them so many things. Now they don't even remember. This is the first time they're seeing this movement. They're like, wait, which one am I supposed to do?
Yep.
And also you're just like giving them these opportunities like to like, I didn't even know I can do that. Should I do this? Point is, like you said this on the last episode, which is spot on. Your GPS isn't like, hey, don't turn left, don't do a U-turn and don't take that road. It's do this, take a right.
Yeah. 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 It's like saying there's gonna be five roads down there. I want you to turn on this one, whatever. You brought up a really great point with regard to like paralysis by overanalysis. And when you got to take the perspective of a novice mover and also think about like this too. You can't overwhelm your athlete with giving them too many things to focus on. If you just tell them the one simple move, all I want you to do, I want you to get this med ball into your front rack position from off the floor. I want you to imagine it's a fishbowl and don't dump the fish. It's pretty simple, right?
Like simple.
It's all we're asking for. And so, yes, there may be some deviation in the bar path, or there may be, you know, some deviation when it comes to the core to extremity contractions, wave of contract, whatever. Yeah, there might be issues here and there, but you know what's happening? They're learning step by step by step. You can focus about that the nitpicky movements down the line. That comes with being with virtuosity and always finding something to nitpick on. But let's look at the big things and then break it down after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a fan of The Office, Carl?
Of course. Oh yeah. We're just quoting The Office on the drive down here.
You remember the episode where Michael, I forget where they were going, but they were in the car and they were in the GPS and the GPS was like, turn right. And there was like a body of water. And Dwight's like, no, it doesn't mean this right. It means go straight. And it's the right. He's like, no, the GPS is telling me to turn right. And they wind up in that little lake or pond in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's kind of what your coaching should be like. Yeah, it should be so direct that even when it's like, I'm about to turn into a body of water, you're like, that's what the coach said to do. Do this. And, you know, for those listening love The Office, I want to know that because the Office is my absolute favorite show. So going back to the image, Carl, it's actually a carousel. And the first picture was you don't dump the fish, you're drawing, outstanding. But there's a second video. And it's all good, Carl. We got to get your mother-in-law on some better Wi-Fi. So what I was saying is this image happens to be on a carousel. And the first one is you and your drawing. The second carousel is you about to do the movement. You game for a little critique here? You game for me to look at this movement and see?
Please bring it on.
All right, let's go. I'm going to hit the – and for those of you listening in your home, maybe do a little watch along here. Ready? 3, 2, 1. I hit this play button. There's Carl, tall Carl. You're actually not moving. Let's see what's going on here. You're frozen on my computer screen.
Okay, mine's working.
I'm going to refresh this. We are having...
Oh, my gosh.
You're back. You're back. I'm going to hit play here. Let's see. There we go.
I just watched it. You're going to love it.
All right. Little toes. Oh, you're doing that wrong on purpose, Carl? Yeah, you must be doing this wrong on purpose.
Yep. I'm demonstrating the wrong one first.
Okay. That was thumbs down. Fish. All right. Here's a good one. Let's watch it. Fishbowl. Oh, Carl, let's see if we got some things to work on. That second rep was a little better. So here's my challenge to you, Carl. Are you still yelling fishbowl on my computer? Let me get out of there. Okay, here would be my challenge to you, Carl, and this is something we work on. And this goes for all the listeners. If you're demonstrating for your athletes and you're showing them one fault, the challenge is you can only show that fault. So you get people that are demonstrating this fishbowl, but now we're set up a little toesy or we're not opening our hips and your athletes are looking at too much. So you really have to be able to distinguish this is the fault. And that was for me, a lot of work when I was first demonstrating on staff, really being able to pull apart. That's the fault I want to see. So your movement's good. Even the bad ones, that would be my only critique. Your good one was spot on. I would tell you like I would tell most people, you can probably, there's never, go buy the t-shirt, but there's never too much hip extension. There's no such thing as too much hip extension. Go buy the Carl's Violent Hip Extension t-shirt online. We'll put the link in the show notes again. But squeeze that butt a little bit harder. And I think that's a very common thing when it comes to the medicine ball clean. You get your athletes so focused on one thing that the most important piece, that hip extension, might get sacrificed a little bit. Make sure we're still bringing that back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one. Jay, I'm sorry. We're going to get through this, man.
We're going to get, the good thing is I don't think the listeners realize how many times we keep dropping each other because it just keeps picking back up. But what you were about to say something.
Yeah. I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and stop. Let's stop our videos. For those of you that use Zoom, if you stop your video, typically you get a little bit of a better quality audio recording. So I've stopped mine. You see a nice picture of me and the wifey there with the pups. So what were you saying?
Okay. So one thing I've definitely learned, I've picked up this from watching a lot of tutorials through CrossFit, actually through the .com page. I picked this up during my level 2 is when you're demonstrating movement, a movement error for somebody, like say you're critiquing somebody doing a clean. And say that they've got a muted hip where they are catching the bar way back and their hip's not closing. They're not in that ready position. When you demonstrate it for them, when you say, hey, listen, this is what I'm seeing. It's okay to really exaggerate the fault that you're seeing. If you say, hey, listen, this is what I'm seeing from you, and you're catching it in like an exaggerated position, that's fine because they need to know where they're going. It might not be that bad, but at least they know the idea of the fault that they are doing. So that's a really good point. And I was trying to demonstrate that in that video of curling the ball into that front rack position rather than having my hands rotate around it. So yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that. But when you are a coach and you are, you're coaching somebody, really say, hey, listen, this is what I'm seeing. And even if it's like way, way exaggerated, that's all good because you need to communicate what that error is.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think what I always recommend, like you're saying, is you can't show a fault, but show it in a subtle manner to a new athlete. They're not going to see it like you see it. If someone's, curling the ball is relatively obvious. Like you show the laces, here they are, now they're here. It's pretty obvious. And maybe even over-exaggerate how far away from your body it's getting. But, the example of lack of hip extension, you really need to show them I'm not opening my hips. If you show them like just soft hip extension, they're going to be like, okay, I'm doing that. Where you have to show them, no, look,
yeah,
my hips are still completely flexed. And then what I would tell you, it's really how we teach visual cues at your level two, where it's like, show them what they're doing and then show them how you want them to do that. Yeah. And both of those demonstrations need to be exceptional. It needs to be exceptionally bad, and then it needs to be exceptionally good.
Yep, absolutely. You need to really drive home exactly what you're looking for. And like you said, if you are demonstrating an error and it's got any kind of subtlety, it's going to be so easy for them to overlook that. And there needs to be a stark difference between the error and the correction that you want to see.
Exactly. All right, Carl. Well, considering our Wi-Fi and considering everything else, anything else you want to touch upon on the Don't Dump the Fish cue?
No, the only other thing I want to talk about is just like, hey, listen, if you're out there and if you feel like I haven't featured a cue that needs to be featured, by all means, direct message me. I'd love to share stuff and build that collective knowledge there for other people to see. So yeah, I'm thankful that somebody shared that with me and reminded me of it back when I took it and when I first experienced it during my level one, and excited to share more in the future.
Yeah, you could shoot Carl a DM, I'm sure, on his Whiteboard Weekly. I'm sure you only get one or two of those a day, Carl. And or our new email address for the podcast is whiteboardweeklypodcast@gmail.com. So if you have feedback on our podcast, yes, we understand the Wi-Fi wasn't perfect today, but hopefully you still made it through. But if you have any cues that you want Carl to draw up, or you have any of Carl's original drawings that you want us to discuss, that's what we're here for. We need the feedback from you guys in order to keep this show progressing and moving forward. Carl, I want to let you wrap it up. You're the man. Any last words?
Hey, Jay, I really appreciate it. As always, it's an honor to sit down and talk with you and your collective CrossFit level four knowledge. I always learn something when I'm with you, and I hope you learn something perhaps, or you get a different perspective when you're sitting down with me. But most importantly, I hope that the listeners, that they gain something today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really love doing this show, and we love talking about our passion for coaching and helping others improve their quality of life through movement. So by all means, subscribe, let us know what you think, and we're excited to have you guys on the next episode, or have you guys listen to the next episode.
You got it, Carl. I definitely learned a little bit about perspective on that pull-up bar today, so thanks for that.
Awesome.